actually going to be in Leviticus again. I wanted to look at chapter 26, which is a really important chapter in the book. I know I'm skipping over chapter 23, which is equally as important, if not more so. But the reason for that is John's actually going to be going through chapter 23 for us. So I'm gonna start looking at chapter 26. Before we begin, I know at least the folks here in Buffalo have heard me probably go through chapter 26 on a couple of different occasions. I want to really stress one thing with our group here, though. I think that besides chapter 23 with the feast days, that this is probably the most important chapter in all of Moses' writings.
Along with Deuteronomy 28.
Well, as you're going to see, Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26 are really teaching the same thing. And we'll look at that some tonight, because I'm going to tie... We're going to spend a lot of time in Deuteronomy 28 tonight.
Oh, right.
So I just really think, though, that this is one of those critical areas of Scripture to really, really have clear. I do not think a person can understand the book of Matthew without understanding this. Because Matthew is laid out in accordance with Leviticus 26. So I think it's a really critical chapter. And what it does is it presents the five cycles of Israel's judgment. Now, when I say five cycles of Israel's judgment, it's five distinct epochs, if you want to use that term, of their history, where they fall into apostasy and God pronounces a judgment upon the nation, and then they have a revival, but they're never quite as good as they were, and then they'll fall back into apostasy, and this will happen five times. And the last one is where Israel would find itself even today, is under that judgment cycle. So really, we'll start here in verse 14. And I know there's a lot of really good stuff before verse 14. Verse 14, and we could read up through verse 39. We'll kind of read around the room. So, 14. But if you will not listen to me, and will not do all these laws,
and if you shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that you will not do all my commandments, but that you break my covenant,
then I will do this to you. I will visit you with panic, with wasting disease and fever that consume the eyes, make the soul ache. You shall plant your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it.
And I will set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies. They hate you. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursues you.
If in spite all of you these things, you do not listen to me, I will discipline you seven times more on account of your sins.
And I will break the pride of your strength, and will make your heavens as iron, and your soil as bronze.
And your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield or increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruit.
And if you walk contrary to me, and are not willing to listen to me, then I will bring seven times more plagues on you, according to your sins.
I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children, and destroy your cattle, and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate.
And if you will not be disciplined by me through these, be walk contrary to me. To walk contrary to me.
Then I also will walk contrary to you, and I myself will strike you sevenfold for your sins.
And I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when you are gathered together within your cities, I will send a pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy.
When I break your staff of bread, oven. And they shall deliver your bread again by weight. And you shall eat and not be satisfied.
And if you will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me,
then I will walk contrary to you also in fury, and I, even I, will discipline you 7 times for your sins.
You shall eat the flesh of your sons, and you shall eat the flesh of your daughters.
And I will destroy your high places, and cut down your images, and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you.
And I will make your cities waste, and bring your holy places to desolation, and I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors.
And I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it.
And I will scatter you among the nations, and unsheathe the sword after you, so your land will become desolate, and your cities will become a waste.
Then the land will make up for its Sabbaths all the days it lies desolate. While you are in the land of your enemies, then the land sabbatizes and makes up its Sabbath.
As long as it lies desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbath when you dwelt upon it.
As for the remnants among you, I will bring despair in their hearts in the land of their enemies, so that even the sound of a blown leaf will chase them, and they flee as though pursued by the sword, and fall when no one is pursuing.
And they shall fall one upon another, as it were before a sword, when none pursues, and ye shall have no power to stand before your enemies.
You will perish among the nations. The land of your enemies will consume you.
The remnants among you will waste away on account of their iniquity in the land of your enemies. Indeed, they will also waste away on account of the iniquities of their ancestors with them. It's really laying out, those verses go through those 5 cycles. And then verse 40 down through the rest of the chapter gets into how Israel gets restored. And basically, it's with a public confession, and with their public confession, they'll have forgiveness, and God will establish Himself with them again. Now, the first cycle of judgment would be from verses 14 to 17. The second cycle is verses 18 through 20. The third would be 21 through 23. The fourth is 24 through 26. And then the last cycle, or the fifth cycle, would be verses 27 down through 39. And what God is laying out here is what He will do when Israel rebels against Him. And He'll begin it with statements like, but if you will not listen, the King James uses the phrase, if you will not hearken, that starts each one of these, a phrase similar to that, if you will not listen or if you will not hearken. And then He lays out the judgment. Now, the first judgment, if you look at it, it's going to coincide with two important areas of Scripture. It's going to coincide with the book of Matthew. I'm not going to go to Matthew tonight. But it's going to coincide with Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, all the way through chapter 7 and verse 29. So the first cycle will really basically be the first 7 chapters of Matthew. That's a lengthy chunk of Matthew. And it's going to coincide where some of the things that are going to be laid out on this cycle of judgment, and some, in particular the major prophet associated with it, a lot of the things that he did is going to be replicated or restated form in that section of Matthew. The second cycle coincides with Matthew chapter 8 all the way through Matthew chapter 16 and verse 20. And again, the same thing is true of that, that it coincides with that second cycle of judgment. The third cycle of judgment would be Matthew chapter 17 up through chapter 23. Chapter 23, interestingly enough, is one of the famous ones talking with the different woes of Matthew. So, and then the next section of Matthew would be chapter 24 and 25, the Olivet Discourse, which will coincide with the fourth cycle of judgment. And then the last cycle of Israel's judgment will coincide with Matthew chapter 26 up through chapter 28. So you have Matthew laid out in accord with that. Now what I want to do tonight is look, I might not get into the prophets associated with each one tonight, which is okay, but I want to look and compare this section of Leviticus with Deuteronomy 28. So in Deuteronomy 28, this is one everybody's really familiar with, I think. Everybody has heard at least something in this chapter. And it talks about the blessings that God would give, how he'd make them the head as long as they obeyed. And but if they don't obey, he'd make them the tail. Now, while we're in Deuteronomy 28 for a second, I want to just give you a little bit of a brief outline on some things in Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28 is really going to be in five parts. Again, each part being one of the cycles of judgment. But within that, you're going to have six blessings and six curses. And where the blessings are, then the curses are going to be referenced almost word for word of what the blessings were. Now, the reason that there's six of them is six is the number of man. And the blessings are intended to benefit man. But if they don't obey, then the blessings themselves become a curse to man. And interestingly, five cycles of judgment, five is the number of grace. Because at the end of it, God's grace is going to be exhibited. But I just want to look at these six blessings first, and then we'll look at the curses. If you look here at verses 1, 2, and 3. It says, "And it shall come to pass, if you shall listen diligently to the voice of Yahweh your Elohim, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I am commanding you this day, that Yahweh your Elohim will set you on high above all nations of the land." So the very first blessing he begins with is that they would be elevated above all other nations. And it's a great blessing that he gives. And verses 1 through 3 are going to lay out these blessings. Actually, they're going to go all the way down through verse 6. But it's going to lay out these blessings. He says here in verse 2, "And all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you if you obey the voice of Yahweh your Elohim. You shall be blessed in the city. You shall be blessed in the field. Your children will be blessed as well as the produce of your soil, the offspring of your livestock, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. Blessed will be your grain basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed will you be in your comings and goings." So you have all of these blessings. Verse 7 and 8 begin to talk about how enemies could come upon Israel and he would preserve Israel so that they can't be harmed, and so on. He gets into the fact that they would have an abundance of things. They'd be in their storehouses and so on, and they'd be well provided for. Now, just so you can see the curses here and how they really coincide, look at verse 15.
Of 28?
Of 28. And I'll read verse 1 and then somebody, if they could read verse...
You'll read 15?
Yeah. If,
Why don't you read verse 15, I'll read verse 1, just so you can hear how close they are.
Then it shall come, this is in Deuteronomy.
Yep.
28:15.
Yep.
Then it shall come to pass, if you do not listen to the voice of Yahweh, your Elohim, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you.
Now, listen to verse 1. It shall come to pass, if you shall listen diligently to the voice of Yahweh, your Elohim, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I am commanding you this day, that Yahweh, your Elohim, will set you on high above all nations of the earth, of the land. And all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you if you obey the voice of Yahweh, your Elohim. So you have a lot of the words even used that are the same. You have the idea of listening. Both of them begin with that idea. You have the voice of Yahweh, your Elohim. You have the idea of observing his commandments. And then in verses 1 and 2, the blessings overtaking them, or in verse 15, the curses overtaking them. So it almost reads the same. Look at verse 16. If somebody could read that.
Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the field.
Can you read verse 3?
Great, sure. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field.
It's almost a word-for-word restatement. And that's how you're going to find all of these. Just
the
one more so you can
verses
see.
The negative.
Right. Let's just look at one other one so you see it. Verse 17.
Curse will be your grain basket and your kneading bowl.
Okay. And look at verse 5.
Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store.
Or kneading bowl. Mm-hmm. And the idea is, again, each thing is just being restated. The blessings are given first for obedience, but if they don't obey, these are the curses. And he restates them. Now the curses will all be embodied in the five cycles of judgment. Okay? So when you read the five cycles of judgment here in Deuteronomy, you're gonna see each of these curses are gonna be restated, but in a lot more detail. So really, if you think about it, you have the blessings laid out in the first section. The second section has the curses, and then the rest of the book of Deuteronomy is the five-cycle judgment being laid out. Now, let's look at the five cycles of judgment briefly here. While we're in Deuteronomy, if you want to look at chapter 20, well, verse 20.
28:20.
Down through, say, verse 24. This is the first cycle. So, Yahweh will send on you a curse, confusing you and opposing you in all the stretching out of your hand until you are destroyed and quickly perish because of the wicked of your deeds and that you have forsaken me. Yahweh shall make the plague cling to you until he has consumed you from off the land where you are going to possess it. Yahweh will afflict you with consumption, fever, inflammation, hot heat, and drought, blight, and mildew. These will attack you until you perish. Mildew is a big one because we looked at that last week, that idea, with some of the baptisms in chapter 14.
Oh, skin diseases.
Yeah, and houses and things like that.
Right.
Just so you get an idea here, I just want to read the first cycle in Leviticus so you can see how similar it reads. But if you will not listen to me and will not do all these laws, and if you reject my statutes, and if your soul hates my judgment so as not to do all my laws to the violating of my covenant, then I will do this to you. I will visit you with panic, with wasting disease, and fever that consume the eyes and make the soul ache. And you shall plant your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it, And I will set my face against you, and you shall be smitten before your enemies, and those who hate you shall rule over you, and you shall flee, and there shall be no one pursuing you. So you get the idea of disease, you know, with both of them. You have the idea of being afflicted with inflammation and so on, plague, and the fact that they're going to be consumed from off the land that they're going to possess it. Now, historically, if we were to fit this in our Bibles, this would actually fit the book of Judges going all the way through 1 Samuel chapter 8. That's historically when all of this would be taking place. And it would really make the prophet of this first cycle Samuel himself. And we know it's Samuel, and I'm not going to go there because I've done it in the past before, but if you went to Acts chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, it talks about beginning with Samuel. And the idea is that these are judgments that began with Samuel that will ultimately conclude with the restitution of all things. So you have that being laid out. Now, this first cycle here is pretty horrific. I mean, it's not pleasant. You read it, and it sounds terrible. And think of it this way. In the book of Judges, when Israel really fell into a lot of apostasy, there was constant warfare, constant enemies harassing them. When you have warfare, what comes with it?
Famine.
What else comes with that?
Diseases,
right? All of those things come with it. Starvation, sickness, you know, all of those things come with it. And oftentimes the land can't produce anything because it's destroyed by its enemies. A place today that would be perfect to think of that's in constant conflict with enemies and is in constant perpetual drought, Somalia. That would be an area you could think of that would maybe fit something like this. So you have this going on. What Leviticus is laying out, you have to understand what Leviticus is laying out here and what Deuteronomy 28 is laying out, which is really a restatement of Leviticus 26. What Deuteronomy 28 is laying out is how Israel could have been that nation of priests before God, that intercessor between him and the nations, if they had obeyed. They didn't obey, which introduces his cycles of judgment. Each cycle becomes more severe than the previous cycle. Each revival that the nation has isn't quite as strong as what had preceded it, and they never quite reach what they once were. Each one is subsequently weaker. So you look at that, and it's like, okay, you know, you have a downward spiral is really what it's depicting. And what it really is to show is that how God's covenant with Israel was to operate. His covenant was based upon their obedience with him. If they obeyed, he would bless. Now, we have to understand something else that's really important with this, and this is why chapter 14 was important. The nations were all going to play an integral part in Israel's blessing. In the Old Testament, lays out a lot of information on how the nations were going to play a part in the blessing of Israel. For instance, everybody's familiar with Isaiah 60 because it gets quoted a lot. But what that is the Gentile nations flowing to Israel and paying tribute and the wealth of the nations going to Israel. That's what he means by making them the head and the Gentile nations the tail. The flip side becomes true, though, if it's the other way. If the nations become the head
and Israel becomes the tail, then Israel becomes that tributary nation, and they're the ones who really are inferior at that point. And that's what it's laying out, is how disobedience with God produces a degeneration. The degeneration produces more and more squalor and more heartache until it overwhelms the nation. That's really what he's laying out in very vivid picture, that whole idea. So the next area you would look at, that second cycle of judgment, in Leviticus, he talks about the land not giving her produce, the heavens being made as iron, the soil as bronze, the trees not giving forth their fruit, and so on. In Deuteronomy, starting at verse 23, right, you kind of get that idea. Your sky above your heads will be bronze, and the ground beneath you iron. Yahweh will make the rain of your land powder and dust. It will come down on you from the sky until you are destroyed. In other words, what he's talking about is a dust storm instead of a rainstorm. Anybody ever see on PBS a few years back, Ken Burns had a documentary on the Dust Bowl.
Yeah.
Okay. And he had a picture that was filmed of an actual dust storm. And what you had was a cloud of dust that kind of went up from the earth, almost like a tornado thing, kind of
funnily,
mm-hmm. right, going up, and it stretched up for what looked like miles, and it was just like as wide as you could possibly see on this thing, just coming at the person filming it. What they recorded in that there was a storm that was so severe that the dust from the storm actually landed on ships in the Hudson, if you can imagine it, the Hudson in New York.
Yeah, they had it on windowsills in Buffalo.
Yeah, if you can imagine that. The devastating, where they were talking about one out of every three children that were born in that time frame developed such severe respiratory problems that they died. They couldn't survive all that dust that they were taking in. You could go to bed at night and wake up in the morning and your car is buried under dust. That's what he's depicting here. Now, we have a picture of that. It kind of gives you a little bit of an idea when Elijah was the great prophet of Israel and he had God hold back the rain for 3 years. Now imagine, we've seen what summer has been like this year.
3 weeks without rain.
Without 3 weeks. Imagine 3 straight years with no rain. I mean, I'm going to guess that there was nothing green. Just a guess. I'm going to guess there was a lot of dust. The ground was probably cracked. And you probably had that kind of storm that would ensue. This is a really devastating sort of a kind of a judgment, if you will. They could bury really a whole caravan and cause them to suffocate by being buried alive. It wasn't uncommon. If you go for a second, just go with me to Genesis 19 for a second. Genesis 19. Okay. Look at verse 24 here for a second. He says here, "Then Yahweh rained down sulfur and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah. It was sent down from Yahweh from the heavens, and he overthrew those cities and all the plains, and all those living in the cities,
and the produce of the ground. Now, here's the whole idea. He rains down this, King James will talk about it as fire and brimstone, mm-hmm. right? That just literally obliterates that land. But what we have added to it is that all the produce of the ground is destroyed. Now, again, what happens if you don't have plants to anchor the dirt,
the soil?
What happens to
it?
It blows away. What it creates is dust storms, and it creates a lot of horrific things. And it's interesting when you go down a little bit further. It says in verse 28. He looked off towards Sodom, Gomorrah, and the entire plain, and he saw smoke rising from the land like smoke from a furnace. And so it was that when Elohim destroyed the cities of the plains, he remembered Abram. And it gets into this idea. And then it talks later on in the same chapter where they look at it and they think the whole world has been destroyed, and so on. And then it gets into the southern areas, the way the King James translates it, but it's really the Negev would be the Hebrew. That literally is a dust corridor that comes to be known as the wilderness. That wilderness area is an area that even today just, it's a desert. Nothing grows there. And what you have is this whole idea of this dirt, and we've all seen those movies like Lawrence of Arabia when the dust storm comes, right, and everybody's buried and they're trying to take cover. But that's what that second cycle of judgment is like. Okay, it's really against the land itself. Now, why would God judge the land?
Because they did not let it rest.
They didn't let it rest. And the other reason he's judging it is, wasn't that what he was going to bless them with? So if he's going to bless them with land, then the curse is against what the blessing would have been. So it's going to be in opposition to it. So you have that. He goes on a little bit further here in this one, too. Look at verse 25. Yahweh will cause you to be defeated by your enemies. You will go out against them in one direction, but you will flee from them in seven directions. Consequently, you will be in a state of great terror throughout all the governments of the land. And your carcass shall be food to all birds of the air and to the animals of the land, and no man shall frighten away. And you get this whole idea here of all of that. So that second cycle of judgment is really a horrific thing for them. And each one, like I said, goes on. That would coincide with Elijah. The third cycle is going to coincide with Elisha. And he gets into this one here where he talks about wild animals being sent in to rob them of their children. He talks about plagues. He talks about the destruction of their livestock, and their roads or highways. In Hebrew, it would just be the word ways, would be desolated. Now, notice here, he talks about all of these things, and he's going to tie it back to their experiences in Egypt, in Deuteronomy. But in Deuteronomy, he talks about your carcass shall be food to all birds, verse 26, of the air, and to the animals of the land, and no man shall frighten away. Yahweh will afflict you with the boils of Egypt, with tumors, skin disease, and festering rashes, and none of them will be curable. Yahweh will afflict you with insanity, blindness, and mental confusion. As a result, you will wander aimlessly in broad daylight, just as a blind person wanders in darkness. You will not prosper in your way or in your highways or in your roads. Instead, you will be oppressed and plundered all day long with no deliverer. And he gets into to all of these things. So what you have in Leviticus, where he gives you a few verses about it, Deuteronomy goes into a lot more detail with it. And he's laying out all of these things that are going to come on them and how they're going to be plundered and destroyed as a nation. So you have those first three cycles. Each one of those cycles is associated with one of the prophets, Samuel, Elijah, Elisha. The fourth cycle of judgment is actually going to be affiliated with writing prophets. You have the writing prophets. The fourth cycle is primarily the prophets that are writing to Israel. And then the fifth cycle would be the writing prophets who are writing to Judah in particular. And you have that being laid out for you. So fourth cycle is the idea of war. He says here in verse 25 of Leviticus, you know, I have to turn there, he's going to turn his sword on them, executing the vengeance of the covenant, that they're going to be gathered to your cities, and he's going to send pestilence to them. He's going to break your staff of bread, and 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven. They shall deliver your bread again by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. So he gets into this idea of famine and so on. When you read here the fourth cycle here in chapter 28, he gets into this whole idea as well. He gets into, for instance, let's look at verse 30. Yahweh will afflict you with grievous boils on the knees and legs, from which you cannot be healed. From the sole of your foot. He talks about them having to serve other gods. Then he gets into verse 38, you shall carry much seed out into the field and shall gather little in, for the locust shall consume it. The idea would be like what you read in the book of Joel, with the invasion of the locust.
Joel. Right, because this wording is exactly the same in the book of Job.
Yeah,
but it's very predates this text by
a few
300 something years, yeah. Probably.
Yeah. And then he talks about locusts in verse 42. You know, destroying all the trees and the produce and so on. So he gets into that, and then what you get in the fifth cycle. This is really pretty horrific. In the fifth cycle in Leviticus, he gets into the idea of cannibalism. And he says in verse 29, you shall eat the flesh of your sons and you shall eat the flesh of your daughters. And how he's going to destroy their groves or their idol, places of idols. They're manufactured gods. An idol is a man-made god that's been manufactured. And the idea of how he's going to lay their cities waste. And really, the fifth cycle is captivity, where the entire 12 tribes are taken into captivity. And when you read, for instance, that idea of the children being eaten, for instance, you shall eat the flesh of your sons and the flesh of your daughters. If you actually go into the book of Lamentations, written by Jeremiah, he actually describes that in vivid detail. And he's an eyewitness to it, because he's writing as he's seeing it. And he lived through it. That's why he was called the Wailing Prophet, because he was just overcome with sorrow and grief for some of the things that he had to see. And it's horrific. But that's how far they had removed themselves from God, where they could actually contemplate doing this. Now, can you imagine being that hungry, where you're willing to eat your own child? I can't even fathom that. But that's how desperate they were. They were literally being starved out. When you read what Jeremiah records in the end of the book of Jeremiah and in the book of Lamentations, it's really horrific. I always thought, with the way Hollywood likes to make some of these really gruesome, gory movies, I'm surprised somebody hasn't found that and said, this would make a good movie.
And make a lot of money.
and try to do that. But it gets into that whole idea on how they're going to really just destroy things. Just give an idea on how some of it's written here in Deuteronomy. He gets into... he focuses more on Deuteronomy, verse 58, Deuteronomy 28:58. If you will not observe to do all the words of this law written in this scroll to revere this glorious and reverential name, Yahweh your Elohim, then Yahweh will inflict extraordinary plagues on you and your children, great and lasting plagues and severe and lasting illnesses. He will inflict on you all the diseases of Egypt that you dreaded, and they will cling to you. Also, Yahweh will bring on you every kind of sickness and plague not mentioned in this scroll of commandments until you are destroyed. Whereas you were as numerous as the stars of heaven, you shall be left few in number because you have not listened to the voice of Yahweh your Elohim. And he just gets into how he's going to desolate them. And disperse them in verse 64 among all the nations, and so on. They'll have no rest, and they'll have continual sorrow. They'll be terrified, and dread will come on them, and they'll become a nation of slaves, is what he really lays out for the rest of that book. That's these five cycles of judgments that Israel is even under right now, because right now, the fifth cycle of judgment is what Israel's under. They're not in the land as God had promised it for them. They still are enslaved to a certain degree to the Gentile nations. They can't rule themselves and be that go-between that God would want, because Gentiles, in a large part, are dictating what they do and don't do. And today, we have to understand the other important thing. Today, this fifth cycle of judgment was interrupted because we're in a time frame of God's grace. And God will pick up with this when we're taken out. And this judgment will run its full course.
And all these things will occur.
They wow. will. So a lot of them have already.
Right.
They already have been a conquered people.
Mm-hmm.
They already were taken off the land. They already were dispersed among the nations. Even today, there's more people that live in New York City than live in what they call Israel today. It's a horrific thing when you look at it. And what Matthew really does, and again, I'm not going to go through that, with Matthew. There's a lot of notes if you go through the notes that will cover those things. But if you go through the book of Matthew, reading it in this light, you're going to see how the Lord becomes more and more strident with them when they're confronting Jesus and he confronts them back. How he escalates what he says to them. How he constantly accuses them of not listening to the commands that God had given. And what he's doing is he's recalling them to Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28 and showing them, this is where you are. I have come. I've offered you the blessings. The blessings he really enumerates on them in chapter, in Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, laying out what the blessings would have been, and they reject them. And then you get into each one of the blessings being taken away with curses throughout the rest of the book of Matthew. It's really a fascinating thing when you look at it. So I just think the whole thing, you have to look at it in this light, is really the Bible, as far as the prophetic program goes. This summarizes the prophetic program. It really tells you what God's plan is. I'm either going to bless you or I'm going to curse you. If you don't obey, these are the curses that follow. If I have to bring in the second cycle, this is how it'll play out. If I have to bring in the third cycle, this is how it's going to play out. It's up to you, Israel, whether you want to obey or not obey. You have the choice. The curses don't have to come. You could obey. And if you do, the curses aren't going to come. But if you reject, then they will come. And by the time you hit that fifth cycle of judgment, the only way that fifth cycle of judgment can be removed is with a national confession of their sin against God. And that's why, for instance, Daniel, in the book of Daniel, prays and confesses for the sins of the nation. He's trying to make a national confession for Israel. And, that's why, for instance, Paul in Romans 10, which is the dispensational aspect part of the book of Romans, when he talks about his heart's desire for Israel is that they might be saved. And that's where you have where Paul talks about with confession of the mouth, right? It's in that section. Why? Because confessing of the mouth has nothing to do with the body of Christ. It has everything to do with Israel for that fifth cycle of judgment to be removed from them. 1 John 1:9 speaks of that idea of that national confession. So all through the New Testament, it's going to relate back to this. The book of Revelation, as horrific as some of those things that you read, that's all part of that fifth cycle of judgment. So Revelation, if you want to think of it that way, is an extension of Leviticus 26 in Deuteronomy 28, as is Daniel. Daniel's an extension of that. Although Daniel's interesting because most people look at it as a book of judgment, but in the Hebrew scriptures, they look at it as a book of restoration, not judgment. You know, the judgments happened, and then they're restored at the end, which is how they view it. So, any questions on that? Is it clear?
Yeah.
It's painfully so.
Yeah.
Not very pleasant.
No.
It's kind of a...
Not very exciting.
It's not. It's pretty horrific. And it's not exciting. It's heartbreaking is what it is. But unfortunately, you know, it kind of reminds me of Romans 1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When Paul talks about the devolution of man, you know, how they were really exalted in God's image, and then they made gods that were fashioned like unto the creeping things, like locusts, things like that. Bugs.
Yeah, they worship creation more than
yeah,
creation.
They do. And it just shows how man had that downward spiral. And that's really what it lays out.
Well, I think since we got through this, we were all well behaved and all that, we should have dessert now.
We have to end on a happy note.
Yeah, right.
Well, I do have to admit, it's not the most exciting of materials.
But it's there and it's true.
Yeah. Body's learning aware of it.
It's important information.
We didn't talk about it a lot in Worldwide, and yet we were so attuned to the law and all that. It wasn't until...
I don't think we knew about cycles.
We didn't know cycles. We never talked about it. And yet it was a big thing with theme and that.
Right.
Remember that? When we first started studying
that. They were into the cycles.
In the mid-90s. Yeah, we get the tapes all the time from them. Oh, yeah. Cycles is a Duncan.
Okay.
RV theme. Right now. Mm-hmm.
bad thing of it all is it just shows when you make a contract with God, He holds you to it.
Yeah.
You know? And
all these things we will do.
All these things we will do, yeah.
They should shoot off their big mouth.
Yeah. And you know, when it's amazing when you think that He gave them the chance to back out of it, and they didn't want to. It's like, oh, we can do it. So that's good. If you ever get the chance, try to read Matthew in light of what I said today. I think it'll open it up in a totally different way for you. But why don't we close in a word of prayer then? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time that we've had to be able to look into Your Word. And Lord, we just marvel at the things that You recorded for us and how clear You are on what You would do with obedience and what You would do with disobedience. And Lord, it just is unexplainable how mankind can just be so against You when they see that You always do what You say You will do. And Lord, we just thank You for the fact that these things are written as an example unto us. It shows us, Lord, the severity of judgment, and it also shows us, Lord, that Your faithfulness to what You do promise. And we thank You that we can take what You promised to the bank. And we know, Lord, that You have promised to give us aeonian life, and we thank You for that. And Lord, we thank You for the fact that we're not under any cycle of judgment, but rather we're under Your grace. And it's a marvelous place to be. And it's a marvelous thing, Lord, to wake up each morning and wait to see what our Father has for us today. And to face each day expectantly and full of energy and vigor, knowing that You are in control. And not only are You in control, but You want to give us as many good things as You can possibly give to us, especially in the spiritual realm, Lord. And we thank You for that. And we just ask that You would open our eyes of understanding, that You would fill us with the knowledge that only You can fill us with, and that we would be diligent students of Your Word to go home and search the Scriptures daily to see if the things that we are looking at are so. And we just give You all praise, glory, and honor. And this we pray in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, Greg, is Thursday okay with you?
Yeah, absolutely. Thursday is good.
Very good.
Excellent. Absolutely. Everyone, have a good night.
You too. We'll talk to you later.
Take care, everyone. Drive safe.
Bye.
Bye.